Well, these Mondays through March, we've been bringing you a special series called Journey to Wellness in Indian Country. And medical student Nathan Ratner gets a lot of the credit for coming up with the idea and organizing this great special series of interviews for us. Our guest this morning is Dr. Melissa Wall. She's the associate professor in the Department of Biobehavioral Health and Population Sciences. Melissa, it's been a Monday here, but you're still smiling. Good morning.
Good morning to you. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate you being such a good sport. We've talked about some of the challenges of health in Indian Country. To kind of recap a little bit, we've talked a lot about just how difficult it is sometimes for people to get to services, if services exist. Mm-hmm. That part, I think, is common to a lot of rural areas where the healthcare options are few and far between, and it can be a challenge to for people, you know, in particular early elderly people, to get there. Then we've also talked a little bit last week about the concept of historical trauma, and that if providers have a better understanding of that and all of the different ways that it can manifest physically and emotionally, they're going to be in a much better place to help the populations that they serve. So part of the way this information comes together, of course, has to do with research. But health research focused on Native communities has not always benefited those communities. How does that work?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And actually, you know, I think that there are a lot of parallels in the ways that Native communities have been treated at the hands of research that you would see in other communities of color, minority groups, et cetera. And so I'm happy to share with you a couple of concrete examples for your listeners. And one that is actually not so historical is a case with the Havasupai tribe of Arizona. And this occurred in the 1990s. And the Havasupai tribe engaged in a research partnership with some researchers at Arizona State University. And things were actually going pretty well. The tribe was on board. They were really interested in understanding epidemic rates of diabetes in their community. They had entered into this partnership willingly and with support for the project. Lo and behold, fast forward post-data collection, and the tribe finds out that these researchers had been publishing results totally unrelated to the purpose of the study, which was understanding diabetes. So they had done blood draws as part of this research, and they took the blood and did DNA analysis to try to talk about a creation story or a migration history that was totally opposite to the tribe's traditional teachings.
So basically, they said to the tribe, hey, we're going to help you figure out how come there are epidemic rates of diabetes in your tribe. And then they went, oh, but we're really here. Shh. We're really here to collect blood and do this research, this archaeological or anthropological research. And then we're going to publish it. And we're just not going to tell you about that.
Yeah. I mean, from the tribal perspective, that's definitely how it felt. You know, I think the researchers had another story probably, or maybe didn't have such malicious intent, but it certainly turned out that way. And fortunately, reparations have been made. That case went to court, and it's one of the most famous in recent history that we talk about. But I think, you know, what we hear as researchers from communities fairly frequently is this phrase, we've been researched to death. People are just tired of having, you know, these negative narratives told over and over again with no action.
Well, in particular, if you partner in good faith with someone and the idea is, I am partnering, you know, you're offering to help. Mm-hmm. I'm taking you up on that offer. We're doing this in good faith. And then to be be lied to and betrayed that way is
right. So that creates a bad name for research everywhere, right? And so the trust issue that comes up over and over again is very justifiable.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So how does it work here at UMD? I would imagine that there is a measure of research going on also at UMD. If nothing else, there's research going on into how to research ethically and how to rebuild some of these bridges.
Yeah, there's actually, you know, not so much at UMD, although I can speak to that in a second. Just nationally and internationally, there's strong efforts to both indigenize research, which is to, you know, take indigenous knowledge and from within the community and build your own kind of research projects, and to engage in a thing called CBPR, or community-based participatory research, which really kind of equalizes the playing field between researcher and quote-unquote researched, where the participants of the community become active researchers. They are partners in that process and have a say in the way everything goes. And so to speak more directly to the work that's being done here at UMD, our team is involved in a project called Gathering for Health. And this project is, again, a diabetes project. So we're trying to understand the way that stressors actually impact diabetes outcomes. And we really try hard to build on these principles of CBPR for community-engaged research. And we have community members in all of the communities with which we work that form community research councils. They do much more than advise. They're equal partners to us. We're a team. We work together to design study protocol, implement the project, and actually in the end decide what do we do with these data. We've done all of this work. We have all of this information, but short of, you know, just publishing it, which we have to do, what do we do to create services in the communities that actually make a difference?
Wow. And that obviously is the most important part. If the Havasupai had had an arrangement like this with Arizona State mm-hmm. University and those researchers, mm-hmm. it seems to me that it would have been obvious almost from the get-go. Hello, you guys are off, you know, going in a different direction.
Right, yeah.
So what is your sense of the feeling of the tribal people that you're working with regard to this project? Do you have a sense that everybody feels that everybody else is dealing in good faith and it's all above board? And
I do. I think, I have a slight advantage in that my family is from one of the tribes that I work with. So I'm Ojibwe myself and know some of the folks that I work with since I've been born. So I think that level of knowing and trust and partnership and relationship has been there. But I think it's taken, you know, 15 years now I've been engaged with tribal communities and research just to build up trust and keep the trust going. And we had some technical difficulties this morning, but we did have on call or standing by a community member who was kind of going to weigh in on this topic. But I think what he would say is that he does feel, what he's told me, is that he does feel like he's a member of this team, that he feels like he has a voice and that the work is benefiting his community.
Well, and I hope that we will be able to make the opportunity somehow to have that conversation with him, because this is really fascinating stuff. Melissa, thanks so much for joining us this morning. And like I say, for being such a good sport, things got a little bit Monday-ish on us this morning, but you're a great sport, and thanks so much for joining us. Dr. Melissa Walls, our guest in the studio this morning. She's an associate professor in the Department of Biobehavioral Health and Population Science. She joined us this morning as part of our Monday series, special series throughout the month of March called Journey to Wellness in Indian Country.